Welcome to Break 59. We have to tag on one more thing I forgot to point out from the man's notes in Breaks 56, 57, 58 when he was doing that false teaching and the false presentation of the sower and the seed is when he ends up his notes and he talks about the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. And what he says here, he's using it to prove to people that you must act on what you believe in order to be blessed by God as such. And then he finishes it up by saying that the Ethiopian believed and received Christ as Savior. That's what he says in his notes. Now, first of all, Acts 8:37 is missing in all the modern Bibles. And there's a reason for that. However, it is not what people say. It is not an illustration to prove salvation before baptism. You know, being baptized after you're saved as an object lesson or whatever to show people it's just a type, that kind of a thing. And I preached that many, many times in my Baptist pastorship, as we would call it, I guess. I don't know. But I may have talked about this before in other breaks or other sermons or whatever, and I'm just going to do it again. I suppose I should start keeping track of what I'm talking about. I have a tendency to repeat things. I know that over the years. But I also know that it's hard to find things on my website. So let's just do this again. Acts 8:37. Now, Acts 8:37, the fact that it's missing from a King James Bible tells us something. But it doesn't tell us that salvation comes before baptism. What it tells us is that with that verse missing, that is a proof text that shows the difference between gospel salvation as such, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what Paul teaches for salvation to the Gentiles. Oh, I mean there's a difference? Yes, there is, and I'll show this to you. First of all, let's look at what the King James Bible says regarding Acts 8. Let's go back to Acts 8:36 here. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Okay, so we're talking about believing here. And he says in verse 36, in verse 35, preached unto him Jesus. Have you heard people use that phrase? They just need to preach Jesus. Well, they're preaching Jesus. Jesus is his earthly name down here when he's talking to the Jews. So if anybody's going to preach Jesus, I can almost guarantee you they're preaching the false gospel from the gospels that was supposed to be given to the Jews. You don't preach Jesus to the Gentiles. You preach the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Gentiles today. Let me show you even a little bit more here. So he says in verse 37, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said," now this is key to this verse, by the way, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now that's what he believed, okay? And yes, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, etc., etc. So yeah, there's a salvation as such there, but it's not the salvation that we preach and teach today, and we preach and teach the risen Savior through Paul's teachings. Let me ask you this question. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, does that make you a Christian? Is that what Paul says? We have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Is that it? Is that the basis for your salvation? If that's true, then Catholics, Lutherans, Methodists, all these people that believe that, well, sure, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they believe that. They believe that fact. They believe that statement. They believe that name, Jesus, is the Son of God. If they believe that, then we have a massive amount of salvation still, and God is still getting through to the Gentiles. And by the way, if you believe that, then you're following the teachings of the Pope in recent news items. He says, listen, everybody's got a different way to the same God. That's his ecumenical thing. We all believe in the same God. We just have different ways of getting to him. No, there is one way. That's obvious in the Scriptures. So then if that's the case, then what we're talking about here is a massive theft, a massive deception, that all these religious people who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they're taught that in their major denominations, you know, that kind of a thing, then we got a deception here that is huge. which I believe we have. That's why Romans 11:22 says, when the Gentiles are done to the goodness of God, then God is going to be done to the Gentiles. And I'm telling you right now, hardly anybody wants to hear about Paul, because Paul is the only one, and the King James Bible is the only Bible that teaches the goodness of God. And how many people want a King James Bible? How many people want to believe that King James Bible? How many people want to believe that Paul is the one that we're to follow? Okay, so let's get back to this deception here that's being preached everywhere, especially by this guy, about Acts 8:37. It is not a proof of salvation before baptism. It cannot be used for that. It has to be used to show that during the gospel days, and this is before Paul, remember this is Acts chapter 8, what we're talking about here. Paul comes onto the scene in chapter 9. And so here's a guy that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, let me show you something. If we go back to John, which is where all this stuff is coming from, John chapter 3:16, we know this verse. It's a great verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and everybody gets caught up on the fact that begotten is missing in the new Bibles, and that's true. It should not be. He is the only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many times have you told that to somebody, that using that verse for salvation? Well, let me show you, that verse should not be used for a Gentile salvation today. Look at John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You ever wonder why somebody who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and put him for their salvation, etc., etc., sure doesn't look like the wrath of God is on anybody. What was the reason for that not showing up today? Remember, this is Gospels. Salvation in the Gospels, as such, is about believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That's it. The faith scene doesn't come until Paul comes around. So if we look to John, if we look to the Gospels, if we look to Philip for salvation proof text, it's a false salvation. It's a false teaching. Let me keep going here. John chapter 6, verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. So they see that this is Jesus walking around, and they just need to believe that he's the Son of God. That was their salvation. That's what they needed to believe. John chapter 6, verse 69. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Those guys in those days just had to believe that that really was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That was John the Baptist's job, was to show people that Jesus walking around, the one that they see, that's the Son of God. Thus we have all the miracles. Those are signs. They just needed to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. John chapter 11, verse 27. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. That was her belief. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. And then John chapter 20, verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Believe what? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That was what they had to believe. Okay? So this Ethiopian eunuch, he is proof text of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of what salvation was. He believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he got baptized. That's fine. Paul doesn't teach that. The Gentiles are being taught an Old Testament as such, a gospel. Remember, the Old Testament is Old Testament until the death of the testator. Hebrews chapter 9, it says that the New Testament doesn't begin until the death of the testator. So the New Testament doesn't really begin until after the death of Christ. That's all Old Testament. Just happens to be that after the death of Jesus Christ, they still wouldn't believe. That's what Peter was talking about. And then when Paul comes along to tell people, in fact, that's the first thing that Paul taught in Acts chapter 9, by the way, in verse 20. It says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So the first thing that Paul taught, he was taught to the Jews, and he was teaching the Jews that that's the Son of God. Because that's all they've ever had to believe, that he was just the Son of God. I don't mean just the Son of God, but that's what they had to believe, just that he was the Son of God. It's that simple. Now, if we were to go on a little bit here, notice that in Galatians, for example, Galatians chapter 2, we see another classic change here in verse, let's look at verse 16. knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. See, they didn't receive the faith of Jesus Christ in the gospel days. That eunuch did not receive the faith of Jesus Christ. He goes on and says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, etc., etc. Go down to verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, meaning we're in our body, we're, you know, as compared to operation of God, etc. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. They don't realize that there's a difference between the Gospels and Paul's teachings. Now, here's one more thing to consider. Go to 1 John chapter 5, and you've heard me preach and teach over the years that 1st, 2nd, 3rd John is not written to Gentiles. It's written to the Jews during the time that we're talking about here. It's not written to us. And let me show you. Have you ever wondered why when you read 1 John chapter 5 and we see in verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, and that's true, but it's true during the tribulation time now. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Okay, you can say that if you want to say that, but just note verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So we're looking at John teaching a salvation that is not based on faith. Nobody receives the faith of Jesus Christ but the Gentiles. So you can't go to Acts chapter 8:37 to say that, see, if you believe, then God will be there for you. God will give you those blessings. God will respond because you've been saved and baptized. That's a false teaching. And then just for a little frosting on the top here, if you have always believed that 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 was in reference to your salvation, which I used to teach as a pastor, I did always wonder why in verse 14 it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, and we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Always wondered why, okay, then I was always told, well, then you're not praying in the will of God. What does that mean? How do I, you know, that kind of a thing. So this whole thing is just bogus teaching if it's taught to be applied to us today. And then it goes on, talks about a sin unto death. It goes on in verse 18 that if you're born of God, you don't sin. Well, you know, we know that the sin still exists in us. We're just cut away from it. I'm telling you, 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the Gospels teach a different salvation. It's that simple. And Acts 8:37 proves it, which is why it's missing from the Bibles, not as a proof text for baptism after salvation. That's a baptistic way of applying that verse, and that's a baptistic false teaching.